This morning, I was just kind of struck as we were worshiping, just do we realize how great our God is? And just how good he is, and how big he is, and how he's capable to handle all of our problems and our situations. I don't know why during worship today, I was just thinking, man, we serve a great God that's capable of doing some really great things in our lives. Let me open up in prayer. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this opportunity to share today. I pray that you just give me the words to say, give us ears to hear. Pray that your Holy Spirit would continue with us this morning as it has during worship. And just bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, when my dad asked me to prepare to share a few weeks ago, I had a topic in mind. And this week I sat down to study it. And my gaze kept shifting to a whole other topic, but I kept trying to push through to this other topic. And along the way, I decided just to go with what I felt like my mind kept getting stuck on. And if I was going to title this, I would say it's Faith and Expectation, : Efforts to See Him. So Faith and Expectation, : Efforts to See Him. Well, last week was a great Sunday. Just felt the Holy Spirit here. And as well with us at the baptisms. It was a great day. I believe there were 10 baptisms, and that just the Holy Spirit was with us. And I just wanted to do a quick recap of what my dad shared about last week, because it was kind of staying with me as I was preparing to share this week. For those of you that weren't here, or for those of you that were here, just a quick reminder. He spoke from Mark 10 out of the story of Bartimaeus, and I just wrote a quick recap. Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho when a man named Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting on the side of the road. He started to shout out to Jesus, and the people in the crowd rebuked him and told him to be quiet. However, Jesus called him over, asked him a question, "What do you want me to do for you?" Bartimaeus said, "I want to see." And Jesus told him that his faith has healed him, his vision was restored, and he stood up and he followed Jesus. It's an amazing story for a lot of reasons. For starters, a man's vision was restored, which is amazing. But a few things stuck out to me in this story that have impacted what I'm going to share on today. First is the question that Jesus asks Bartimaeus, "What do you want me to do for you?" I found myself kind of reflecting on that, and how would I respond to that question? And I'm still asking myself, if Jesus were to ask me today, what can I do for you? How am I going to respond? But what really impacted me about that is that Jesus wants to hear it from us. He knew what Bartimaeus wanted, but Jesus wanted to hear it from us. He wants to hear it from you. He knows your needs, he knows your wants, but he wants to hear it from you. He seems to appreciate our efforts and our desire. There's something about the mystery of who Jesus is that he appreciates our efforts and our desire when seeking him. The second thing that stuck out to me, which will be my focus today, was what was it about Bartimaeus' faith that Jesus appreciated? He said, "Bartimaeus, your faith, because of your faith, you are healed." What is it? And I kept racking my brain. What was it about his faith that was so appreciated by Jesus? They said, "Your faith has healed you." And as I was kind of thinking there, I believe that Bartimaeus was approaching Jesus with expectation. He was approaching Jesus with expectation. He had an expectation when he was on the ground shouting out to Jesus. This wasn't a Hail Mary. This was an expectation. That man can do something for me. So, like any good theologian, I wanted to know what expectation was, and I opened up the laptop, typed in expectation into Google, and I got a lot of definitions. So here's expectation defined: a strong belief that something will happen or be the case in the future. The act or state of looking forward or anticipating. An expectant mental attitude. An expectant mental attitude. Some synonyms for expectation are anticipation, hope, and trust. When Courtney was first pregnant with Reese in those first few months, people would come up and say, "Oh, you're expecting." You know, and I just... side note, it's never safe for a guy to ask that. Thankfully, I've never made that mistake, but I've been around when it has happened, and it's awkward. But people would ask, "Are you expecting?" And sure enough, we were. We were anticipating Reese's birth. We were anticipating her birth. And sure enough, 9 months later, Reese came into our lives and has added so much. And then I started thinking about times where our expectations aren't met. So we can all, I'm sure, think of times where our expectations haven't been met. Just recently, we started a brand new school year. I'm actually starting a brand new school. So parts of the school are still being built. You have to wear hard hats in certain areas. But it's a beautiful campus. And we got an email. You guys can come in a few days early, set up your classrooms. I think this is great. Go see the new school, set up my class. It's going to be great. And I'm walking the campus, get to my room, and I walk in, and there's nothing in the room. Zero. I'm walking by all the other classrooms, and there's desks, furnitures, bookshelves, filing cabinets, nothing in my classroom. My expectations were not met. I was going in expecting one thing and got another. And they're probably just in another room. Turns out that our department, the special education department order was something went wrong, and so that it was on back order, and so we had to kind of scrounge to get it. Ended up working out, but my expectations weren't met. I was expecting the district or whoever ordered to come through, and it didn't. And what the point is that we have to make sure that we're placing our trust and expectation in the one that matters. So I started reading stories about people in the Bible where Jesus, who approached Jesus with expectation. There's so many examples of people reaching out, screaming out, running to Jesus. But I kept finding myself stuck in one story, and that's the story of Zacchaeus. So I'm going to be sharing out of Luke 19, 1 through 9. You guys want to turn there? And this is kind of a prequel to Bartimaeus. So just prior to the healing of Bartimaeus on his way out of Jericho, we read about Jesus entering the city of Jericho. So on his way into Jericho, he meets Zacchaeus. On his way out, he meets Bartimaeus. So let's read the first verse here. Jesus enters Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. So he was the top publican in the area, had many people working under him. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So we have this short, rich man that wants to see who Jesus is, and he can't see because of the crowd and his height. I just wrote here, often we allow our personal insecurities, our personal roadblocks, or our situations from stopping us from seeking and seeing Jesus. It's too hard. I can't do it. But what did Zacchaeus do? He wanted to see who Jesus was, so he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once, welcomed him gladly, and the people saw this and began to mutter, "He's gone to be at the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." So this is where the conviction of the Holy Spirit starts to fall on Zacchaeus, right? When we encounter Jesus, oftentimes that conviction falls on us, and we know when we've wronged people or we're sinners in our life, and he's starting to kind of self-reflect. Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." Courtney and I were just talking about this the other day, that oftentimes we know that God is good and Jesus can save, but there's always those few outliers that we just think, no, that guy or that girl, it's just not going to happen. But he came to seek and save the lost. When Jesus came into the city of Jericho, Zacchaeus was confronted by his limitations, spiritually and physically. On top of that, he was a sinner. However, he was so hungry to see Jesus that he didn't allow his limitations to stop him. His expectations ensured that he was not hindered. His expectations created the atmosphere he needed to get his breakthrough. We should approach our Father with the same expectations and create an atmosphere for our breakthrough. For those of you who know me well, you know that I love golf. I love to play it. I enjoy watching it. And in 2008, I had the opportunity to go watch the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines. There's four major golf tournaments, and the U.S. Open is one of them. And so I went down there. I was with my brother, Cooper Sitabaka, and Dave Larson, and I kind of had my Zacchaeus moment. And so I wanted to read you. I wrote a quick bio here about our time here. So we were there on a Saturday, and Tiger Woods was making a move to take the lead. This was before Tiger hit rock bottom, by the way. We wanted to watch Tiger's shots, but the crowd that followed him was so intense that it was difficult to see him. We knew he was on the 15th hole, so we decided to go to the 17th hole, find a good spot to see him on the green when he comes through. We got great seats on the grandstand surrounding the 17th green. Tiger's approach landed just beyond the sand trap, short of the putting surface. He was currently two shots back of the lead. Tiger, being in his prime at the time, approaches the ball in the thick rough and takes a cut. The ball lands once on the green and then hops right in the hole. The crowd goes crazy. Now he was one shot back of the lead. We had to see him finish on the 18th hole. So we got down from the grandstand and watched him tee off. He pipes one down the middle. Suddenly everyone starts sprinting towards the 18th green. We, of course, are above such fanatical behavior. I mean, it's just golf, right? Wrong. All four of us started sprinting for the green, pushing over women and children. No, that part's not true. We wanted to be witnesses for this amazing moment. It was a few hundred yards. When we reached the green, the crowd around it was already so large that I couldn't see anything. So I started looking around, and I saw a fig tree. Actually, I saw a little platform at the base of the scoreboard that posted the scores for the golfers. I climbed up a few steps until I had an unobstructed view of the green. Tiger's approach landed about 20 feet from the hole, and we all watched, at least those of us that could see, as he paced the green, reading the undulations. Sure enough, he makes the 20-footer for eagle, takes the lead, and the place goes nuts. High-fiving strangers. It's going crazy. There's thousands of people. Then Tiger stops, looks up at me, and says, "Can I come to your place for dinner?" Actually, the real connection and the point is to ask you some questions that I recently asked myself. Thank you. The real connection and point I want to make is to ask you guys some questions that I recently asked myself. So I have six questions here, and I've been asking myself these questions, and I want you guys to kind of self-reflect as well here. So when is the last time you made a real effort to see Jesus? The story is funny about running to the 18th green, but we really wanted to see this, and we were sprinting. We weren't pushing over children, but we were running. When's the last time you made a real effort to see Jesus? When we pray, are we expecting him to respond, or are we just going through the motions? Are we ready to respond when Jesus turns his attention to us? I think if Tiger really would have turned his attention to me, I wouldn't have known what to do. Imagine Jesus, Son of Lamb, turning his attention to you and asking you these questions. Are we ready for that? Are we prepared to answer the questions that he'll ask us? 5, do we have a hope, a trust, a belief, an expectation that Jesus will and wants to respond to us? And then 6, whose timeline are we on? His or yours? I think what challenges our faith often the most are those seemingly unanswered prayers that aren't on our timeline, whether it's the lost son or daughter, the friend or family member. We want answers now. A verse that's been really evident in my life is just kind of a, I guess, water for my soul recently is Hebrews 6:19-20, which is, hope is the anchor of our soul. It's firm and steadfast. Oftentimes when we're waiting on those prayers, we can become discouraged, but that hope is the anchor of our soul, firm and steadfast. I heard an analogy one time that our life is like a parade. So I can remember the most recent parade I went to was a Swallows Day parade. I remember as a kid going to the light show parade at Disney. They still do that? Yeah? No? Disney World, okay. Well, usually at a parade, you find a spot, you post up, and you see what's coming by in front of you. You're watching, oh, here's the Indians walking through, or whatever parade you're at. You guys can do the math. But you're seeing what's in front of you. That's how we see our lives, whether that's difficult times, whether that's times of great abundance and happiness. We see what's in front of us. God has a different perspective of our lives. He sees a bird's eye view of that parade. So he sees the beginning and he sees the end. We're not sure where we are in that parade. We kind of see what's right in front of us. But God sees it and he knows where you are and he cares about you and he sees everything beginning to end. And we need to take faith and have a proper perspective of this God that we're serving, that he sees everything. Psalm 5:3 says, in the morning, Lord, hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait expectantly. I lay my requests before you and wait expectantly. As I was preparing this morning, there's a thought that goes across my mind about expectation and God and how we interact with him in prayer. And I just, the only thing that comes to mind is that God wants to hear our voice and he's waiting to be wanted by us more so than we are right now. Whatever that looks like for you, he's waiting to be wanted. Going to end with a few quotes. First one is, a man may study because his brain is hungry for knowledge, even Bible knowledge, but he prays because his soul is hungry for God. He prays because his soul is hungry for God. Second quote, and this is a quote that Courtney and I have hanging in our house. This is by Andrew Murray. Beware in your prayers, above everything else, of limiting God, not only by unbelief, but by fancying that you know what he can do. Expect the unexpected things. Above all that we ask or think, each time before you intercede, be quiet first, worship God in his glory, think of what he can do and how he delights to hear the prayers of his redeemed people. Think of your place and your privilege in Christ, and expect great things. I love that quote. Think of what he can do and how he delights to hear the prayers of his redeemed people. Isn't that good? So just to recap, don't let your limitations hinder you in seeing Jesus. Whatever that looks like, we all have limitations, we all have insecurities. They look different. Don't let that limit how you approach Jesus. Don't let that stop you from seeing him. Press on. Press on. Push through. Whatever those things are in your life that are stopping you from seeing Jesus, push through. That could be physical, mental, spiritually, emotional. Push through. If you're feeling good or you're feeling like you're in the fire, expect God to turn his attention to you. So no matter where you are, when you seek his face, expect him to turn his attention to you. He wants to hear from you. It's so simple. He wants to hear from you. It's a mystery to me, and it always has been. When I read these stories, even Bartimaeus, you know, when Jesus calls him over, what do you want me to do for you? I always thought that was a funny question. I thought he'd like pat his eyes and say, Hello? I want to see. He knew that, but he wants to hear it from us. I just encourage you all this morning, talk to Jesus, tell him what it is you want, seek his face, and push through whatever those limitations are. So as we go out this week, let's seek the Lord with expectation. Amen? Well, I'm going to close this with prayer, and then Pat and the worship team want to come on up. Oh, Lord Jesus, I just thank you for this morning. Thank you for this opportunity to share. I thank you that you're a God of promises, Lord, that you promise to never leave us or forsake us. Thank you for your hope that is an anchor to our soul, Lord. I pray that we would seek you with expectation that you're going to respond to our situations, that we wouldn't go through the motions, just throw away prayers, Lord, if there is such a thing, Lord, but that we would seek you, that we'd make an effort to see you. I bless you. I thank you for just how good you are. Thank you that you want to see great things in our lives. Pray for us as we go out from here. In Jesus' name, amen.